Freed from condemnation because of sin, living a life of righteousness, no longer subject to the demands of the sin nature, and indwelt by the Spirit of God, the Christian is free to live. He is free indeed. Consider this word from God, recorded in Romans chapter 8, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Now that is the logical conclusion to be reached in view of the argument presented in the 10 verses preceding in this chapter. The theme of the section is the free sanctification which the Christian experiences in Jesus Christ. As a consequence of being saved by repentance and faith, the believer in Jesus is free from the condemnation of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. The believer in Jesus is free to live a holy life of righteousness. For God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. The believer in Jesus is free from dominion by the sin nature, which is called flesh, and able to live for God under the direction of the Holy Spirit. No longer does he mind the things of the flesh, but rather the things of the Spirit. The believer in Jesus is free because of the presence and ministry of the Holy Spirit of God in his life. For you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Freed from condemnation because of sin, living a life of righteousness, no longer subject to the demands of the sin nature, and indwelt by the Spirit of God, the Christian is free to live. He is free indeed. We are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Now upon that truth, the inspired apostle makes an appeal to holiness. You're under no further obligation to the sin nature of flesh, he insists. No person or principle binds you to a duty of obedience to the flesh. To live after the flesh indicates a lifestyle which characterizes one's conduct day by day. But emancipated from the tyrannous service of sin into the service of righteousness, we owe nothing now to the flesh. We disown its claims. We are deaf to its impervious demands. And to that we may all say a hearty amen. You see, the new birth ended the domination of the flesh. It has no further claims upon us. It may cry to have its desires satisfied with illicit and sinful acts, but it has no power to enforce its demands or overrule our decisions. It is no longer the business of the Christian to live after the flesh. To live after the flesh is to live according to its standards. It is to seek to satisfy its demands. It is to gratify its preferences and satisfy its desires, but that's not the lifestyle of the Christian. Verse 9 says, "You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you." Now, God does not tolerate carnality. The unregenerate sin nature called flesh is the very enemy of God. He who lives according to that sin nature is the enemy of God. Now, take note. God is not the enemy of the sinner. Sin is the enemy of God. God continues to love the sinner in spite of his sins, even while the flesh sin nature causes the sinner to hate God. Spiritual death, eternal death, follows a life in which the sin nature exercises its control. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Now, evidently, the deeds of the body must be mortified, to use this terminology of Romans 8:13. It is possible for the Christian to mortify the deeds of the body by the agency of the Spirit of God. Now, to mortify means to put to death. That's no small task. The flesh nature will continue with us as long as we live in this present world. Satan will continue to appeal to us and tempt us through the world system which surrounds us. And the flesh nature will call from within us. That flesh nature cannot be put out of operation so long as we live in this body here on earth, but its deeds can be put to death. Therefore, the Christian is called upon to mortify, to put to death the deeds of the body. Now, that is not an act of merit which the Christian accomplishes as a part of his salvation, not at all. It is not the result of great discipline of mind and spirit which a person is able to exercise. Never. Listen again to the reading of verse 13. If you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Notice how the victory is gained. It is through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. Only the Spirit of God can put to death the deeds of the sin nature. That does not mean that the physical body is a thing of evil. Not at all. Men have traditionally had three attitudes toward their physical bodies. Some worship the beauty and strength of the body. Now, that was particularly true of ancient Greeks and is increasingly true of our present generation with its emphasis on physical beauty. Some saw the body as a source of sin. They either abused it, thinking it was evil, or lived in license because of its desires. But the Bible teaches that the body is neither good nor evil. It is neutral. Subject as it is to the spirit of man, it can be used for God or for Satan. So that's why the Bible admonishes, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Now the same physical body can be used for good or evil, but the child of God will want to glorify God by what he does with his body. Consider 1 Corinthians 6:15. "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ?" Verse 17 continues, "He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit." Verses 19 and 20 conclude, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." The Christian does not gratify the flesh nature. He kills the works of the flesh as they seek to grow in his life. "For they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Does the Spirit of God appeal to your heart that you should renew your personal vows of dedication to the service of God? Do you feel the yearning to magnify God in your body, whether by life or by death? Do you desire to present your body a living sacrifice to be used of God where and how He knows is best? If so, that is the evidence of the call of the Holy Spirit to you. Respond to His call. Give your best to the Master. You will lose nothing by surrender to God. I speak by experience that there is no manner of life which is as fulfilling and worthwhile as the life which is lived in the will of God. So now, being made free from sin and become servants of God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. Father, we accept with joy the eternal life which you have given us by your divine Son, Jesus Christ. We accept with joy the ministry of your blessed Holy Spirit, who has regenerated us and made us your dear children through Jesus Christ. We accept with joy your will for our lives, for the rest of our lives, in every situation. We accept it all with joy because we're sure you love us and you'll work the best thing possible for us. And we confirm our love to you and our commitment to you in Jesus' name. Amen.